Father, in the name of Jesus, we ask for your blessing to be upon us. We ask, Lord, that you would open the word to us in the name of Jesus. Now, the Apostle Paul was no ordinary person. He was anointed by the Holy Spirit, specifically chosen. You can read Acts chapter 9 and see how it happened. Then the Holy Spirit gave him some advice to tell everyone else. And we have many letters that he wrote that were inspired by the Holy Spirit. Mail from heaven. And it's in our mailbox and we hold it in our hand. This Bible in Ephesians is written to all the believers that lived in Ephesus, that city. And it's for us. And if you could put any theme on this one book, it would actually be two themes. The first theme is our identity. You pull out your ID. Who am I? You know, this is who we are. And then, after the identity is then power. Once we know who we are, God gives us power to live it. Those two go together. How do we do it? We've been born again. We have the power of the Holy Spirit in us. We have our new nature. How do we live then? It's called discipleship. It's no accident that it has that word, discipline. We have to be trained, just like an athlete is trained. We have to be disciplined to learn how to walk as God wants us to. Takes training and learning and repenting, training and learning. It just goes on and on. We never lose it. The goal is glory to God, and then God can then use us for others. Look at this now as we are, I'm calling this walking in the light. Ephesians 5 verse 8 starts like this, describing us. Remember, here it starts, Ephesians 5, 8. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light. For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. Verse 12. For it is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible. Isn't that true? For it is light that makes everything visible. That's why it is said, wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Verse 15, be very careful then how you live. Not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Verse 17, therefore do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Speak to one another with psalms, hymns, spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Christ. Interesting. Walk in the light. Verse 8 says, you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of the light. Once we were once this, now we are this. We were once dead, now we're alive in Christ. We were once in Adam, now we're in Christ. We could go on and on with those comparisons. We are to live as though we are the reality that we are children of light, not in the dark. Isn't that interesting? Gee, I don't see a whole lot of light on me. I don't see any light. Well, what is this light? It says it in verse 9. It describes it in verse 9. The fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. Now, there's a lot of talk about the Antichrist. I mean, we all want to see the Antichrist. And if somebody's going to have a big ministry and, you know, everybody's going to flock to it, I want to see who the Antichrist is. But have you ever heard of the anti-dark? The anti-dark, that's us. We're the anti-darkness. You know, we combat that darkness with our light. That is our calling. Complete opposite of dark. Anti means opposite of dark. Hey, somebody turn on the light. What's it look like? Verse 9 tells us. It's like three giant floodlights. Goodness, righteousness, and truth. Now, you can go to anywhere in the world, and they'd have all weird kinds of definitions about those, but we're supposed to know what those three things are. It's a whole new calling for us, not for the world. It's calling people who have the identity of Christ and the power of Christ in them, as described in the book of Ephesians. So we're to live as children of the light. In Egypt, God made darkness cover the land. He was not pleased with Egypt. He judged Egypt, and it was in darkness. Darkness, ignorance, fear, depravity, and the ending is death. But God has called us out of that. He's called us out of that entirely. In fact, it's God who has turned on the light. He's turned it on in our hearts. 1 Peter 2, verse 9 says this, "We are chosen people. We're the royal priesthood, a holy nation. We're a people who belong to God that we may declare the praises of Him who called us out of the darkness and into His wonderful light." 1 Peter 2, 9. What a beautiful passage of Scripture. It's interesting how many bad things happen at night. Now, I know some good things can happen in the day, but it all seems to happen at night. You look at the news on TV at 2 a.m., a car explodes. You know, this stuff happens at 3 a.m. It always seems to be at night this bad stuff happens. And I know somebody had a rule in their house for their teenage children. You must be in by midnight. No matter how old they were accountable. They had to be in the house, and they avoided all of that stuff. They were in the house. The first declaration of creation, God declared. You can read chapter 1 in Genesis, chaos was everywhere. What's the first word He gave to bring order out of the chaos? It's no accident that He said, "Let there be light." Boom, and there was light, order out of chaos. And He's going to do that in our lives. He will shed His light in our lives and start bringing order little at a time. Walk as children of the light. We're also to walk in God's will. Verse 10 says something very interesting. Verse 10 says, I'm glad they gave it its own little verse. And find out what pleases the Lord. What a research project. We have a little research project. Find out what pleases the Lord. Can you imagine all the scientists, all the study groups, all of the government agencies? You know what? We're going to put verse 10 into practice. You think our nation would change? I think it'd be a few things different. Find out what pleases the Lord. First of all, it's our mission as a believer. He's telling this to believers. So we got to know what the word Lord means. Lord means we bow to Him. He's in charge. That's what Lord means. And secondly, then we need to start digging in, studying, find out what He wants. Dig in, explore, investigate, prioritize, spend time. Doing what? Well, we launch a study. Our whole life is that study. Find out what pleases the Lord. Darkness doesn't care to do that. But now we are supposed to find out what pleases the Lord. Well, what is it that does not please the Lord? Well, we get a little description. You know, you always can get some bad news in the Bible, but we don't want to run away when we see the bad news. We got to accept that too. Here's verse 11. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. See, God desires that we be separate from the fruitless deeds of the darkness. It's like having a fruit tree. Anyone who has one, the first thing you go up to it, and it should have fruit. But if it doesn't, what's the first thing you think? Something isn't right. Something's wrong. Where's the fruit? God's looking like our lives just like that. Where's the fruit? There needs to be a harvest in our lives. Verse 12 says it's shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. They try and keep it secret. It's interesting when you look on the TV how many unseemly acts are being exposed in our media, but not as news, but as entertainment, as the new show now. I was watching a channel surfing, and I flipped on MTV. I haven't seen it in a while, and man, has it gone downhill. You should do a little research and watch MTV for a few minutes. And this is the stuff they're giving our kids. It's horrible. It's darkness. And on it goes. Bad stuff. There's titillation TV, shock TV. And then when it loses its shock value, we got to shock some more. And it keeps going, but the direction is never up. It's always down. Somebody has a TV show. They get interviewed in a magazine, and they mention the gospel, and the darkness goes nuts. They can't handle it. A little bit of light. It's shameful even to mention what they do in disobedient, what they do in secret. But it's not secret for us. It's not to remain secret. We're to know all about it and bring it to the light. And then we're to walk in openness and honesty. Verse 13 explains it. So don't hide in the darkness. Don't hide in the dark. Instead, here's what we're to do. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible. When you go to a doctor, a dentist, especially a dentist, what's the first thing they do? Shake your hand? No, they bring that giant light over and they blind you with it so they can see everything in, you know, they got to see it. And that's what the Holy Spirit will do in our hearts. He will shine the light. You know that stuff you've been hiding? I want you to see it. I'm going to shine the light. And then we bow to it. We learn what pleases the Lord. No more hiding. We don't say, God, don't expose me. That's what Adam and Eve did. They ran and hid and then covered themselves with fig leaves. God says, that's not going to work. I need to do the covering and I need to do the exposing. It's like when we were working on our house, we put our furniture outside. I mentioned this before because I can never forget it. All I didn't know, and the full spectrum of the sun's rays hit our couch, and I saw what it looked like. Ooh, that's ouch couch. I mean, it's that dirty. I did not know that. But when you put it in the sun, you see it. And I know everybody else's couches are clean, but if you put the light on it, it's like our lives. I did not know I had that in my heart. But when the Lord shines a light, we go, ouch. And if we do in the Lord, then we bow our knees. Lord, I'm sorry. Have mercy on me, a sinner. Then he gives us this open invitation in verse 14. Wake up, O sleeper. He's telling that to believers. We can fall asleep in the Lord. Wake up, come on. Wake up, O sleeper. Rise from the dead. You know, we're not dead anymore. We're alive. Rise up. And Christ will shine his light on you. He will do that. And that's why we have repentance. Aren't you glad you can repent? If we couldn't repent, we might as well hang it up because we'd lose in about 5 seconds. We live a lifestyle of repentance as a believer. Praise God for that. The world does not understand that. They sin and they run and hide. We sin and we don't run and hide. We run to the cross. God, forgive me. Have mercy on me, a sinner. He takes care of it. We're to walk in wisdom. Two very important things here. Be very careful and don't be foolish. Two interesting words here. Part of wisdom, in other words, don't be foolish. Part of wisdom is knowing what's ahead before you get there. In other words, you're living your life in certain ways because you know if you do certain things later on down the road, I'm going to be in this situation. That's wisdom. I know our world kind of throws wisdom out and they make all these decisions and we're going down a road that's leading to disaster. Where's the wisdom? Walk in wisdom. Verse 15 then says, be very careful then. It has the word therefore or then because of all he said before, because of all the darkness and all the problems. Be careful then how you live, not as unwise like the darkness, but as wise. He wants to wise us up. The Bible gives us very careful depictions of the difference between wisdom and unwisdom. One brings death, one brings life. One brings darkness, one brings light. It's kind of like the old slapstick comedies, wisdom. You know, if you were watching a slapstick comedy, you know, the old 1920s, if they were to throw out a banana peel on stage or somewhere, you know pretty soon something's going to happen, right? Someone's going to eventually walk on that banana peel, step on it, whoop, slip, boom, and fall down. That's what wisdom is. Wisdom tells us where the banana peels are before we get there, and we're not going to slip up. So if you're watching a show and the banana peel suddenly shows up on the scene, all the whole audience is going to know something's going to happen. But the actors, according to the stage show, they don't know it. But we know it. That's what God wants us to do. The whole world's like the actors on the stage. They don't know the banana peel. We are supposed to know what slips up people and makes them makes their lives ruin. We can see it ahead of time. Yeah, I knew I shouldn't have stayed out past 2 a.m. I knew I shouldn't have hung out with those people. Because when I hang out with those people, this happens. See, the banana peel is going to get us. Oh, I knew I shouldn't have taken those drugs, those chemicals. I knew I should have followed the Lord. On and on it goes. The banana peels, God will save us from them. Verse 15, be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise. Verse 16, make the most then of every opportunity. Verse 16 is very positive. See, God is not shoving us into a corner. Look at verse 16. Make the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. It's extremely positive in the middle of something extremely negative. We are living in a time where the world is in rebellion against God and want nothing to do with it. So you have to be very careful how we live. We're redeemed for a reason, making the most of it, out of every opportunity. Another way of saying that is redeem the time. In other words, we used to waste the time. We're time wasters. Don't waste time anymore. Redeem the time. Use it in a productive way that will build you up in the Lord and help others. Hell is the ultimate banana peel that the world knows nothing about, but they're heading there without the Lord. In fact, in hell, probably the thing that people would want the most is time. Because suddenly they're in eternity. They have no more time. What if you could talk to somebody in hell and say, listen, God has granted you 10 seconds of real time on earth. You think they would say, yeah, now I can shop for 10 seconds. Now I can watch TV, and now I can go on my apps and put earphones in and ignore the rest of the world. You think that's what they would say? No. They would say, give me 10 seconds to repent and come to the Lord. That's all they would ask for. 5 seconds, 1 second. That's how precious this time is. One day it will be gone. Repentance to the Lord is the most important thing. The days are evil. I did not know that. That's a banana peel. We're supposed to know it. The days are evil. Be wise. See, the world just follows the crowd. The world just follows what the gangs do. I was talking to a gang member not long ago, and they were coming to, when I was a youth pastor, he's coming to our youth group, and I was pretty excited. And he came, and he looked like he was getting tied into the Lord. After about a month, I went and visited his house a couple of times, and then one day he didn't show up. So a couple weeks later, I went by his house, talked to him, and he kind of came out. His mother lives there, his grandmother. And he says, you know, my people say I can't come to church anymore. My people say I can't come to church anymore. It's like a cult, these gangs. It's a cult. And they want to steal, kill, and destroy. So I said, listen, I try to think of anything I could say. See your mother in there? Do you love your mother? And he had mom on his arm, the tattoo. And I said, do you love your mother? Yeah. Well, what you're doing is killing her. What you're doing is killing her. You need to follow the Lord. And that was the last I ever saw of him. But I tried to somehow let him see what is happening. The world is in darkness. He's foolishness. Verse 17, therefore, don't be foolish and understand what the Lord's will is. Two times in this little section, it exhorts us to know God's will. Look at verse 10. Find out what pleases the Lord. Verse 17, understand what the Lord's will is. The Lord's Prayer. Lord, Father, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It's important. Father, let your will be done in my life as it is done in heaven. Should be our prayer as believers. That's wisdom. We don't need a crystal ball. We don't need a fortune teller. We don't need a mystic. That's darkness. It's been told what God's will is. It's right here. And most people know in their own heart what God's will is if they will listen to their heart. We have to know God's will. I saw a newspaper article talking about Christian young people going to college and losing their faith. This upset me. I read this article, and I'm not sure if it was a believer or not, but in this article they quoted Romans 12. I don't know if they're half mocking it or in ignorance. Here's what it said. Romans 12 says this, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world. This world has a way of living in a pattern. Do not conform. And then they ended the quote. And the gist of the article was, these kids, you know, they're 18, 19, 20. I don't call them kids anymore. They're adults. But anyway, these kids are not told how to do it. They're not told how to live for the Lord. And that was the whole premise of the article. And I got angry with this article because that's a lie. They are told. It's not true. They rip the gospel out of context. See, if you know the first 8 verses of the book of Romans, of course you're told what to do. Just read the first 8 verses of the book of Romans, and that's why you have Romans 12. I want to look at Romans 12. It's so important to know the context of the gospel, the power of it, before we're told what to do. First, you got to know who you are, your identity. That's a theme of Ephesians. And once you know your identity, then you'll have power to live it. And that starts in chapter 4 in Ephesians. Well, in Romans, it doesn't start till chapter 12. You have 11 whole chapters explaining who you are in Christ before we're even told what to do. So here's what it says in Romans 12, 1. Therefore, why does he say therefore? Because of all he said before. Keep all that in mind. If you don't know all he said before, then therefore is not going to make any sense. Therefore, give you a few months to read the first 8 or 11 chapters and you could know what that means. But anyway, therefore I urge you. See, he can urge you now. He couldn't urge you before. By the power of what God has done in your heart, I can urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, because of all he's done for you, offer your bodies as living sacrifices. In other words, you're not doing what the world does anymore. You're not doing what you want anymore. You're bowing to the Lord. Offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Notice it says nothing about music. It's about how you live, your choices. That's worship. You're putting God first. Then we get verse 2 that was quoted in that article. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world. Boom. But it keeps going. Listen to what it says. What do we do then? Well, be transformed. by the renewing of your mind. In other words, you're learning and growing. You're not just staying the same. You're changing. You'll have power. Then you will be able to test and approve. In other words, it's like a scientific experiment. You will have experience that will prove that God is right in his powers in your life. You'll live it. You'll know it. You'll be able to test and approve what God's will is. And then it gives you a little explanation of it. His good, pleasing, perfect will. The world offers nothing of that at all. In fact, it wants to turn the light out on that. God wants to turn the light on with that. So if you know the first three chapters of Ephesians, when it starts at chapter 4, verse 1, therefore I urge you to walk worthy of the calling you have received. It wouldn't say that if they didn't have the first three chapters. So we have to know our identity in Christ before we can walk in it. Walk in the light. Believers have a sign hanging over them. I see it on a few of you. I see it in me. It's on all of us. It says, no loitering. No hanging around. We're meant to be disciples, busy. If you're a disciple, you're in training. When? Sunday morning for an hour? Not at all. That's the world's way of thinking. It's 24/7 until you see the Lord face to face. You're in training. There's no unemployment in the kingdom of God. He employs you and then deploys you. But he's not going to deploy you until you're employed. So you got to be busy, and then he'll begin to use you. I didn't know God could do that with my life. Well, that's fantastic, and it will grow, and you will bring blessing to others. So you got to know the power of Romans 1 through 8 before you know that Romans 12, and you got to know the power of Ephesians 1, 2, and 3 before you start with Ephesians 4, 5, and 6. Or Ephesians 4, 5, and 6 won't mean anything. In fact, it might even bring damage without the first three chapters. I remember as a young believer, I love the challenge of working in a secular environment. I love that because I love living for the Lord and just sharing the Lord with people. It was an adventure. I loved it. I kind of miss that right now. I don't get that work environment. But those kids in that college campus, they can light up that whole college campus if they just live for the Lord. They're not going to be ones that are going to be drugged down. They're going to be employed and then deployed right there. Then we're to walk in the Spirit. Be influenced by the Holy Spirit. Verse 18, do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Debauchery means to be lost, helpless, like a man in a ditch. You're just cast off. You're worthless. You're off the road, and you're in a ditch. You're debauched, so to speak. It's a character of an abandoned man. Recklessness, abandonment, moral instability, incorrigible, can't even be coaxed out of that rut that they're in. They're going to stay there. They're debauched, hopeless, hapless, helpless. Alcohol is a depressant, not a stimulant. It depresses the higher brain functions. It depresses judgment and understanding. That's why there's laws about it, because it destroys people. But the Holy Spirit does the exact opposite. The Holy Spirit builds people up. The Holy Spirit stimulates the higher functions of the brain, stimulates ways that we can walk with the Lord, ways we never would have thought before. Influence of the Holy Spirit will make us more like Jesus, less like the fallen humanity. So verse 18 then says, be filled. And literally it means it's a never-ending thing. Be in the state of being filled. It's a status of always being filled. We're sealed with the Holy Spirit. We're not to grieve the Holy Spirit. We're to have fruit of the Holy Spirit. We are to be filled with the Holy Spirit under the influence. Now, when the Holy Spirit's deep in our hearts, we'll have a new influence. I'm sorry, I can't do that. I'm under the influence of the Holy Spirit. I'm sorry, I can't hang with you. I'm under the influence now of the Holy Spirit. You'll find out you just can't do things you used to do because you're under the influence. And it won't even be hard. I just can't do that anymore. Why not? I'm under the influence of the Holy Spirit. Be being filled, motivated, moved in a right direction. Then we're to communicate in the Spirit with each other. Verse 19, speak to one another with psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, sing, make music in your heart to the Lord. In other words, we have something worth celebrating when we're with each other, not complaining and being dour and sour and out of power. Be with it. Remember when I was a young Christian, I met a girl and we're just talking. I didn't know anything. I never went to church, didn't understand it. And she kind of was always singing, but can barely hear it. And I go, Is that a radio? Is that what? But she was always happy, and I could never understand it. Now I think I do how it works. God wants that joy in our hearts. Speak to one another with psalms, hymns, spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord. It's kind of like back to Ephesians 4:29. Let no unwholesome talk come out of your mouth. Well, what do we do then? Just let talk that is helpful for building others up according to their needs. That will revolutionize our conversations. That will revolutionize our... It's a whole new vocabulary, a whole new dictionary, a whole new speech pattern. Then we are to give thanks in the Spirit. Verse 20, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. For everything. In other words, we'll have a thankful attitude. That's why I love the Thanksgiving so much. It cultivates a spirit of thanksgiving in us that maybe we have forgotten. Yeah, I know the turkey's good and the dressing and the football games, but you know, we need to understand what it is to have a thankful heart in the Lord. So the Lord kind of grabs us and, you know, I want to take you for a little walk. And we put our hand in His and we go, well, how long will this walk last? Forever. Forever. We walk in the light and we say yes to Him. And that walk that walk never ends. It's every single day, 24 hours a day. We're to walk in the light as He is in the light. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Lord, in the name of Jesus, we pray if there's anyone in here that does not know you,